Hey, Tower of Babel fans, as always, I am Julian Mush. I am joined by Daniel D'Souza.
What's going on?
And it is that time of year again. That special, special time of year where Game of Thrones comes around. But you know what? It's not just Game of Thrones season. Because Game of Thrones pushed back their start date, it happened to fall just about in line with the Tower of Babel anniversary. This will be the second year going into the second anniversary going into the third year, right? Or is it the third anniversary going into the fourth year? That might be possible as well. Yeah. It's been so long, it's hard to tell. Point is, it's a special time. We're excited. So in honor of that, we are going to do a little pre-Game of Thrones chat and then go right into, we'll do like a break, watch the episode, and then we'll do our regular Tower of Babel breakdown for our Game of Thrones show. Season 6, Episode 1. Really excited about it. Really excited. But to start that off, we're going to do, I pulled up this article on IGN. It's called 9 Unsolved Game of Thrones Mysteries. So we're going to read through those.
Okay.
We're going to give our take on that. And then, again, we're going to watch the show. We'll let you know. We're going to take a break. If you haven't, if you haven't watched it yet, you can do the same. Come back once you watch it. Or just skip right through to that part and listen to our regular Game of Thrones Tower of Babel breakdown. So,
spoilers up to...
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, as always.
You should know that
spoiler,
by now.
Yeah. Spoilers up to Game of Thrones Season 6, Episode 1 at this point, and then following that, it'll be spoilers for Season 6 episode all the way through Episode 1.
Yes.
So, okay. So the first one on the list, this is 9 Unsolved Mysteries. So the first one on the list is, where is Rickon? Where is Rickon Stark? And you know what? I've been wondering the same thing. We were just talking about this a little bit earlier ago. I'm a big Rickon fan.
I don't know how you could be, but he's kind of the forgotten child. He's just
exactly
left alone. So it's a big question mark. At this point in the show and the books, he's just gone with Asha somewhere, and no one knows where. And that's all the information from either medium that we have.
Yeah, but Shaggy Dog's there.
And Shaggy Dog's there to protect him. Sweet. And Asha's a badass, so that's
right.
Fine.
Like, also
he's
true.
Most likely still alive, and whether or not he has a role to play coming up, I mean, it's hard to say.
Okay, so where were they headed last time we saw them? This is a season
when
and
they,
a half
when
ago,
they
almost.
Split away from Bran and Hodor and those guys, they were on their way towards Last Hearth, which is the home of the Umbers.
Greyjoy
Umber, like the big guys. Their sigil is a giant.
Okay. Do we know any Umbers as of now? Have we met
the Greyjoy went, yeah, we met the Greyjoy in season 1. He went to war with Robb. He was
the really big guy
who got his hand bitten off by the wolf.
Right, okay.
So that's Greyjoy Umber. He has plenty of relatives that are either... Yeah. Down warring in the south or still back there.
Okay.
So like, they do have a role to play, but it's unclear whether or not they made it there.
All right, cool. Again, I can't stress enough, I'm a big Rickon fan.
Rickon,
I understand, very young. I'm a fan because he is forgotten. Like, this could come back, it could play a huge thing.
Well, that's
seen him in a year and a half.
Realistically speaking, he is the heir to Winterfell, right? Like, he's the last surviving boy. Because as far as anyone knows, Bran is just gone.
Yeah, Bran's been...
I mean, technically, as far as anyone knows, Bran and Rickon are both gone.
That's right.
However, if were Rickon to come back, it doesn't seem likely that Bran's going to come back, given his situation.
Mm-hmm.
Rickon would be the heir to Winterfell.
Yeah, you're right. That does seem likely. And, I mean, again, we don't know enough about him, but as long as there is a Stark in Winterfell, that's fine with me. The next one is, who is the Night's King? I think this is a bit more confusing. So, according to this, in the books... Night's King character is a fable told to the Stark children at Winterfell. In this tale, the 13th commander of the Night's Watch was seduced by a supernaturally cold lady beyond the wall. So, again, seems a lot like a White Walker. They then began sacrificing humans to the White Walkers until men overthrew them. So, again, it all sounds very familiar. It's possible that that is who that is, but then where have they been for the last, like, how many thousands? Hundreds? Is it hundreds of years?
Thousands.
Thousands of years. So, yeah.
Since the first Long Night, yeah, thousands. It's one of those... It's a series of stories that are told to Bran. There's the chapter while they're in the Night Fort, which is when Bran and them are going through the wall, that they go over these stories. And so he's one of, like, a good, like, 5 or 6 stories that are told, and you don't really think anything of it. And again, in the books, there's nothing to think of. You know what I mean? Like, he hasn't been introduced explicitly as the Night's King. That's just what people are calling him at this point.
Okay.
It's likely that it is who we see in the show, but...
It just seems like thousands of years. I mean, I understand, like... Supernatural.
They're undead, essentially, right? So
they've been planning this reclaiming for some time now.
I think it's thousands. I don't know.
It's hard to say. It's You know how Game of
Thrones. The first Long Night was well before the Targaryens ever came to Westeros, which was 300 years prior to the events now. And it was before Bran and the Builder and stuff like that. So they put up the wall because of the first.
And it is Long Night. It was a Stark, right?
Yes. Well, that's, again, part of the story. So as Old Nan would tell the story, it's like some people say he was a number, some say he was a Bolton, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But the truth is he was a Stark.
Okay.
And then, yeah, so he meets... And that it's interesting to note that you don't meet any female White Walkers, but they're clearly the...
Yeah, there's some... There's, there according to this... Be, well, according to this...
Yeah, so this he was theory, seduced this, and then this story. Went on and created the Whites that we know now.
Okay, so the next one is, who is Azor Ahai?
Azor Ahai.
Azor Ahai, okay. All right. This is the Red Priestess recounts a prophecy about a legendary warrior who will one day return. What's the word I'm looking at? It's like just...
Christ-esque.
Very Christ-esque. Right, yeah, of course. And then, of course, these are the only monotheistic... That's the word I'm looking for?
Yep.
Yeah, monotheistic religion we know of so far.
Is the red god?
Yeah.
You could argue the drowned god is too, but...
That's true.
That hasn't really been a big deal. So Azor Ahai is... Yeah, he's essentially the Christ mythos of this, this... For this universe. He was the warrior that put an end to the Long Night.
Okay.
So... He is a warrior who had to sacrifice basically everything he loved and cared about in order to create a weapon powerful enough to battle the Long Night and the White Walkers. And the whole whole part of the prophecy is that he will be reborn at this time, born of blood and fire sort of thing, or smoke, I don't know how it goes. And so a lot of people think that Daenerys is Azor Ahai, because she was Daenerys Stormborn. She was born on an island amidst blood and smoke or whatever, however it goes. A lot of people think Jon is supposed to be Azor Ahai, although, you know... that doesn't really line up with what we just saw.
Yeah, right, of course, because he's also super dead. Although, well, I'm sure we'll get to that. What happened to Cyrio Forel? So this one isn't really a big deal. There's a lot of theories about this. Dan, you've recounted a couple.
Well, I had a theory that I came to, but like, so realistically, he's dead. Realistically,
well, back up. Who is Cyrio Forel?
Cyrio Forel was Arya's water dancer, like the trainer.
Sword trainer.
Yeah, basically. They called it water dancing, though.
Yeah.
So he's from Braavos. He was the first Sword of Braavos. He was supposed to be one of the best swordsmen in the world.
Just for some reason was came
yeah,
over
yeah that, that's a little weird. He was a former first sword of Braavos, so he wasn't the current first sword. And both in the books, well, you can't say in the show he died off screen. In the books, he like you it's implied that he dies. It's implicit, so you never really figure it out. I don't know. I at one point I did think that it was that Jaqen H'ghar is Cyrio Forel. I think that would be a cool arc for Arya, that he's kind of always been around, but under a different face. So he's one of the faceless men, and he was just using that identity at that time. But
okay.
There's no real evidence of that. That's just like...
And again, cool. Macy Williams, the actress who plays Arya, has basically said, like, unequivocally that he's dead.
He's probably dead. It's too bad. He was cool.
I mean, again, that doesn't mean anything for sure, but it's very likely.
Yeah.
This one is always very intriguing to me. And I literally have no ideas where or what. So what happened to Benjen Stark? And the worst part is, this mystery... is like what led to, well, not necessarily, but what led to Jon dying in the end of season 5. He was like, oh, Benjen's out there. Like, he's like, oh, sweet. Uncle Benjen, are you there? And then stabbed, you know? So
the thing is, like, yeah, Benjen Stark, the First Ranger, disappearing has always been kind of a big thing for Jon. It's always been in the back of his mind, you know what I mean? Nothing, there's not much to go off of on this. Like, he went out into the wild and disappeared. In the books, there's a character who I don't know. It doesn't seem like they're going to be introducing the show, named Cold Hands, that I at one point thought might be Benjen, but again, no real evidence towards that. It's just like he was just a benevolent person on the other side of the wall. So
sure.
But everybody else from his party that went out, from his scouting party, was found dead. So because he's the only one left, either alive, White Walker, or not White Walker, White, whatever. Right.
Okay. Is it possible that he's just dead and we'll just never
know? It is likely that he's, or not likely. It is possible. I just feel like that story has somewhere to go. Like, they emphasize it so much within the books. Yeah. I feel like there's going to be some
but
sort
without,
of...
But without Jon, assuming he stays dead...
Yes.
Who gives a shit?
Well, Bran could find him. Bran's already north of the Wall. That'd be interesting for Bran to come and
run
meet
into him. Yeah, that's true. Okay, all right. So, next after that is what happened to Balon Greyjoy. We haven't seen him in a while.
Okay. This one I do know the answer to, so I can't really talk about
it. Okay, well then don't worry about it. When... When Theon Greyjoy visits his homeland, his father and lord of the Iron Islands, Balon Greyjoy doesn't give him a very warm welcome. While this seems to be a turning point in Theon's luck, Balon doesn't fare well after his encounter either. In the books, there's a bit of a brief mention of fate. He fell off a bridge. Not only does this seem like an anticlimactic end for a fierce warrior, but an unlikely one. So what really happened to Balon? I mean, I guess they're fine with spoiling that. Yeah, I suppose. Sorry for anyone. that was unexpected for me. I was spoiled as I read it. So,
I don't know if it's much of a spoiler because he wasn't that big of a character in the show.
I mean, yeah, it kind of was.
He was an important character, but he wasn't really
He was one of the kings of the
Five Kings. Yeah.
Right.
So you have to remember that scene where Melisandre used the leeches on Gendry, mm-hmm, I think, mm-hmm, it was.
Yeah.
And the three people that she named were Joffrey, Robb, and Balon. And so we saw Joffrey and Robb each die. Mm-hmm. So the idea is that this is another version of that red sorcery.
Okay. I mean,
but it is very unclear.
I like it. So most of the time, all except for the ghost baby or ghost, whatever that would be, smoke demon, baby, whatever. Everything is like, maybe that's what it was from. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not clear. It's like, that happened and those people died, but it's not, there's no way to say for sure it's because of the leech.
Yeah, it's convenient.
Again, of course, the smoke baby was very clear. Mm-hmm. She gave birth to a smoke baby and it murdered, who didn't murder?
Renly,
right. Okay.
Renly Baratheon.
So, and this is something I off heard offhand. There's no Baratheons left, or
Stannis. But I mean, after
no, Stannis is dead.
Yeah. Again, I still don't believe that.
No, Stannis is dead. Whatever. Get over it. So Stannis is dead. Yeah. That leaves zero Baratheons. The last,
well, Shireen.
She's dead. Shireen's dead too.
She's not dead in the books yet. But
okay. She's super dead. So, there's no true living Baratheons. And even the ones that are on the throne are not technically Baratheons. Yes. So that's the end of that line. That's pretty. You don't see that very often. Even the Starks have more people running around than the Baratheons do.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the Baratheons are much more recent than the Starks. The Starks have an ancient family, but the Baratheons have only been around for as long as Aegon, for as long as the Targaryens were in power. They were cousins of Targaryens.
They're what? Second cousins?
Well, no, I don't remember exactly, Osmond or something like that. Whatever. When Aegon first conquered Westeros, mm-hmm, he had a half cousin sort of thing that he promoted. He gave a house, and they were the Baratheons.
Okay.
So they have Targaryen blood in them. I don't remember the exact history there.
Yeah. Well, way to go.
I didn't do
way
my
to,
research.
Way to be
all
useless.
Off the top of my
head. After that is, who is Sir Robert Strong? This seems pretty clear.
Yeah, I think everybody knows.
It's obviously the mountain, right? Like,
it's got to be.
It's just, we'll just move on from that.
He's doing the Frankenstein experience on him. It's the mountain.
He's a Frankenstein mountain version, yeah. A zombie-esque mountain character. Yeah. It's not even, that's, shame on you, IGN. That's not very good. And then what happened to the Hound? So there's people who still think the Hound's still alive.
I mean, it could be. I don't know. I don't know.
A character that died off-screen, unlike Stannis, who's for sure dead.
I mean, died off-screen, so.
That is for absolutely dead. They already said so. They said so. They can't lie to me.
It just feels like a weird way for Stannis to go.
I suppose. But anyway.
Very anticlimactic.
We know, he's dead. The Hound, as far as we know, is dead. But it would be interesting to see him come back. I would like to see that, his kind of... Would I want to see him interact with Arya again? Probably not. I feel like that
story's kind of
done.
To get there.
But I would like to see him face the mountain. That would be interesting.
See, I don't think that's ever going to happen.
Why not?
I don't. Again, I don't know what does happen to the Hound, mm-hmm, even within the books or the show.
Mm-hmm.
So, I would love to see him back again. He was just a cool character, but it was pretty clear that he was dying. And we've seen more powerful people die from
less,
you know, from like a little wound festering. Khal Drogo, right?
But that one's poison.
I think more than likely. So what happens in the books is you hear all these rumors about somebody with a Hound's head mask. Warring with whoever in the Riverlands. It's more than likely somebody took his helmet. Uh-huh. Not that he's back.
Okay.
But who knows?
Anything's possible. And then this one is who are Jon Snow's parents? Which, again, only matters if
Jon's
to
alive.
Some degree, only matters if Jon's alive, because then who cares? You know, because then it doesn't matter, really. if John's actually dead, which we're I think anyone who is convinced, and again, we haven't watched the episode yet, episode one, which we will right away, but it might not even give us the answer to that.
Not right away, probably not.
I would like them to just to not just like tease that out, like either just get it out of the way or just like make it definitive that he's done, like bury him, burn him, whatever, something. It's either he's dead or he's coming back. Yeah. Get it out of the way. Who are Jon Snow's parents? It looks like they're doing a flashback sequence. They've talked about it's not. They haven't said it explicitly. The rumor is that it's the Tower of Joy, which would give some insight into his parentage. Would probably what's the word? It would just confirm the most popular theory of who his parents are, which would be
people guess this long time. That in fact Ned Stark is not his father. We already said spoilers.
Again. Jeez, like why is that? Come on.
Well, that's a big one. Ned Stark is not Jon's father. Rather, he's his uncle.
But that's not clear. This again, theory. That's not.
This
a spoiler.
Is all. Yeah, it's entirely theoretical. But if people hadn't thought about it on their own. Like it is kind of. It feels like a spoiler almost.
It's not a spoiler. It's a theory.
It's a fan theory. Ned's sister Lyanna, who was betrothed to Robert Baratheon, who was dead at the beginning of the show, was in fact Jon's mother. Fathered by Rhaegar Targaryen, who, according to the story that we've been told by the Baratheons and the Starks, took her, raped her, or whatever.
Yeah.
You know. But there's a theory out there that she went willingly with him, and she loved him, not Robert, and this was their love child. Either way, Ned would allow his honor to be besmirched by taking this child and pretending he was his own in order to protect his sister's honor, to protect the child, because Robert would have for sure killed the child.
Okay, right.
So that would mean that Jon is technically a Targaryen. Or part Targaryen.
Okay. So that would be huge, obviously.
Gigantic.
Would fall into the whole, you know, Song of Ice and Fire thing.
Yeah.
It's very poetic. I'm a big fan of that theory. I really like it a lot. It and if we do in fact see that flashback, that'd be really interesting to see.
Okay, so the Tower of Joy
So basically that event of her being taken, Ned's sister being taken, is what starts off basically kicks off all the events that we know of.
Robert's Rebellion.
Which leads to Robert becoming the king, which leads to
the destruction of the
what's his name being named Hand of the King? Who's dead.
John Arryn
being named Hand of the King,
yep.
Who is then murdered.
Yeah, and that brings Ned down.
And then, exactly, which starts everything.
Yeah.
So, it's pretty big. Alright, with that all being done, that's the total of the Unsolved Mysteries. I'm sure there's more. I'm sure we'll get into it if they're
think of a couple.
Brought up. Okay, well, say one.
I guess we don't really know where Howland Reed is, but nobody's really talked about him.
Who the hell is that?
That's Mira and Jojen's father, and he's one of Ned Stark's bannermen. They, Moe Cailin right at the neck is where they kind of live around there.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that
being, like, marauded by...
The Ironborn and the Boltons are there.
Yeah.
What other mysteries are there?
Speak up, Daniel. There's a microphone here.
Nah.
I also want to apologize about my voice. I got like some kind of like chest cold thing, so if I do sound a little bit raspier, that's why. Also, we're on a boat, so if you hear any weird sounds, any clanging of any kind, or you could probably maybe you'll be able to hear the air conditioner in the background. But it's also like 40 degrees Celsius outside, so we can't really turn it off. But again, apologies for that. I get that. Now that that's out of the way, is there anything you want to mention? Ask anything you want to touch on before we jump ahead, watch the episode, and come back and talk about it.
I don't know. I really want to believe that Stannis is still alive.
Why?
I don't even like him that much as a character. I just think that's a shitty way for them to finish that storyline.
Just to do it off screen and just have him.
And also, I don't know.
It feels cheap because, like, why was Brienne just, like, walking around the forest? Like, I mean, I get why she was, but, like, okay, what are the chances she just comes across this?
Just happens upon Stannis, the lone survivor sort of thing.
Yeah.
However, like, that was her whole mission. Right, to avenge.
Well, no, her whole mission was to fucking find goddamn Arya, and she failed at
her whole mission was to avenge Renly, and Stannis is the one who essentially killed him.
Yeah,
right,
that's true.
So that's how what started her on her path.
A ghost baby with his face on it.
Yeah, so maybe that's Brienne accomplishing that. Now go find the Stark children if she can. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with Sansa.
She
jumped
exciting.
Off the wall, and that's it.
Although, again, spoilers for the episode we're about to review, but. It seems like they're fine. The clips I've seen are just her running around, unless that's just a dream sequence.
That was
or something.
A weird, like, I mean,
And there's snow. I mean, yeah, you've all jumped into snow.
Snow's the same as pillows,
not everyone
right?
jumps into snow, but, like, if there was, say, 4 feet of snow, right? Even.
Okay.
That would be enough to
make your fall. Well, it depends on how high you're jumping from, but the way that they shot it didn't look like that much
snow.
But whatever. True. Let's just get into it.
Yeah, you want to just...
Oh, we didn't even talk about Daenerys. I don't know what's going on over there either with Tyrion on that side.
Okay, well, I mean, we talked about this in the review of episode 5, or episode 10 of season 5, but the idea of dropping that ring is just so ridiculous to me. I keep trying to, like, I'm doing, like, mental gymnastics to try to, like, justify how that works. Yeah. Like, okay, well, it's in the center of this all these tracks and stuff, but, like, it's a giant fucking field.
Yeah, no.
You know, even if you went to that center part, what are you going to do? Like, comb? What are you looking... Combing through the grass, looking for... Like, it just seems unlike... If... But maybe... Nothing will come of that. Although, unlikely.
Again, I think part of the promo stuff for this next episode was Jorah picking up...
Ah, goddamn it.
Something like that.
It, like, it seems so stupid.
Yeah, it is.
I would also really like convenient. To see what happens with Jorah's grayscale. If that's progressed at all.
Yeah,
You forgot about that,
That's supposed to be... Like, yeah, it's supposed to be fairly quick, that stuff.
Is it?
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand why he didn't just chop... I mean, I say that like it's so easy. But chop off your goddamn hand.
You should, yeah.
Yeah, it's probably too late. Although, what's her name had it? And she was okay.
Shireen. She had it from birth, and she had, like, maesters and magicians from around the world come and treat her.
All the... No, they used a funny term.
Yeah.
They used a funny word for it. Yeah, it's a funny word, though. Anyway.
Yeah, let's just
watch. No. Is there anything else? Anyone else? Anything else we should touch on?
Bran wasn't seen at all last season.
But he's coming back.
He's coming back this season. He's in a weird spot right now.
Also, the Three-Eyed Raven's been recast.
Yeah.
Very exciting. Really good actor. You know what? I say we just watch the episode. I'm sure everyone's dying for us to review it anyway. For all of you that are new to our Tower of Babel Game of Thrones breakdowns this year, welcome. It's great to have you. Everyone coming back, welcome back. Loved having you guys since the beginning, however long you've been around. It's great. Send us any of your comments and feedback to our website, or to our email address, towerbabblepodcast@gmail.com. You can find all of the stuff we do at our website, towerbabblepodcast.com, and that's BABBLE. Again, really glad to have you guys all here, and we are going to start watching the episode right now, and we'll be back for you guys in moments, for us in a couple hour bit. So we'll see you all very soon. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to our Tower of Babel Game of Thrones breakdown. Just finished watching the episode. Had a couple minutes to digest the episode and some food. We ate something as well. Dan couldn't stop saying, "I don't know, man." He said it like 100 times before we could. I was like, "I don't want to hear what you're gonna say.
I just don't know, man.
Just save it for the podcast." And he's like, "I don't know. I just don't know, man. How do you say it?"
I don't know, man.
Weird way to end it, that's for sure. Really strange, but, like, I guess we'll save that. We'll save that for the end.
We'll just go through in order.
Yeah, we'll go through it in order like we normally do. It wasn't a lot of jumping around, just kind of like story to story to story.
Yeah, much more
linear. The only thing that we didn't see was,
Bran.
Bran, yeah, still. Yeah. They're just holding that off. I don't know why. I think big things. I think we're going to expect big things from that. From that story. So that's exciting, but nothing of that for us today. I don't want to say I really liked it, but I liked the way it was paced a lot. It all seemed like it was nice getting caught up with everyone again. What's happened?
That seems to be how the first episode of each season ends up working out. But
I mean,
more or less, they have to pick up the story. They have to remind you where everybody is, kind of.
Yes and no, because, like, Sansa's story, for instance, kind of just picked up right where it was, and then just was like little moments later. Some of it didn't seem clear timeline wise. It wasn't clear.
Yeah, of course.
So I guess again, let's start where the episode starts. I really like how this episode starts. You start with the wall, pan down to Castle Black, keep panning, like it was one long shot all the way to Jon's dead body.
You kind of had to. They knew they had to address it.
Yeah, like you can't just leave that. Imagine if they just didn't.
You figure it out.
Like, what? They just started with Danny, just walking in a field. That wouldn't work. So yeah, that's good. I like that shot a lot. I guess this is supposed to be like the morning. He's been lying there all night.
Yeah, the blood's frozen.
Mm-hmm.
Davos is the one to find him.
Okay, takes him into his room with the help of, luckily, only the people who came out were the it's just fortunate.
Yeah.
They also didn't kill Ghost at all, for some reason.
Yeah, they just kind of left him.
I get, but he's a ghost, so maybe he wasn't around.
He's a wolf.
Yeah, but like...
no, he was... There's a reason... He was clearly locked up. I don't know why they wouldn't kill him, but...
I don't know. That's what they did when they killed Rob. They killed Rob. They took out... But again,
this was more about taking out the Lord Commander. The wolf has nothing to do with it, really. He's just...
Just a wolf.
His friend, his little buddy.
Yeah, just a friend. I mean, we... I love... you have Alistair, he's just like... It's like, I might not have liked him, but I always obeyed the orders until I murdered him. But like this somehow won the men over? Like, no, you
didn't.
Yeah,
that was...
Obviously, that was like the worst speech ever.
I like that Alistair, like, so he's a knight, and he's one of the few knights at the yeah. wall, so he maintains his honor, he tries to, although clearly he didn't.
Yeah.
And I still maintain that I don't believe he would have been a part of it in the books, but whatever.
I mean, that's it. We're not talking about the books here, we're talking about the show.
I'm just saying it doesn't really make sense for his character, who does value his honor that much, even though John is the Lord Commander, who he's hated as long as he's known John, he's still going to obey and, you know,
obviously
he wouldn't have done this, I don't think. Anyways...
But based off...
It doesn't make sense for
based off the actions we've seen in the show,
yes.
Does it make sense for him to do it?
Even then, no. I wouldn't say so.
I disagree. I think it's obvious, yeah.
It's pretty obvious that he hates him, but...
Yeah, and it's pretty obvious that...
I don't think it's within his character to murder his Lord Commander.
I disagree. But that's fine. so he's taken into the room. They bring in a ghost, which is... I like that. And then they basically are like, "What's the plan? What is the plan that they come up with?" It seems like they sent what's his name?
Dolores set out
to go get the wildlings. I think that's the idea. Which is basically his last stand.
Well, those are the only people that would be loyal to John still, right?
I mean, he's already dead, so there's no last stand. But like, if there's any hope for the rest of them, it's with the wildlings.
Yeah.
It seems like Melisandre's kind of had a. She's like kind of lost some faith a little.
Mm-hmm.
She makes a reference to seeing him fighting at Winterfell in the flames.
Yeah, I think she said that last season as well.
Right, and then now he's dead, so she doesn't understand what's going on.
Yeah,
right. I guess we might as well address the end because it's like it's all part of this. Yeah, so she goes back to her room. She's looking in the mirror, and then all of a sudden she turns into some old lady. So,
clearly, she's much older than she appeared to be, and she was using that I would assume that ruby is like a glamour that she was wearing to make her look younger.
I didn't get that impression. So when she took the ruby around her neck off, she became super, super old.
That's her true form, I would assume.
Hmm.
So.
That's really,
again, I don't know any of that, but that's what I took away from that sequence. So she's much older than she appears. She clearly has a mission this side of the world and is still serving her god, but she's been doing it for longer than any of us thought.
Well, I just get the... From her, like, her performance, and just... It just seems like she's lost her... Mm-hmm. Not, like, completely lost her faith, but just lost some of, like, her drive, you know? Yeah,
absolutely.
She's questioning things. She's like, really down...
Well, she thought Stannis was Azor Ahai, and it was proven to her that he's not. And now she knows nowhere to go.
And then it's obviously not John, so...
Well, she did think that, too.
She's like, well, don't worry, I got John. Oh, no. No! of course, we get, we basically cut from the Yenny Knight saying, you know, we can still trust the Red Woman.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't seen what I've seen her do. To her doing that really crazy weird thing with the necklace and becoming super old. So again, more hints at the theories that people have of John coming back via the Red Woman is still very possible.
Yeah,
still alive. Possible. Still alive. Likely still. Even more likely, I'd say, than it was before this episode. Do you think it's become more or less likely that he's coming back?
Well, I hadn't lost faith in at all.
Like, no, it's exactly the same
thing. Yeah, he's for sure coming back either way. He's 100% coming back.
100%. You don't want to even hedge your bet with like a 0.1%.
No, I don't want to do that kind of stuff.
Okay.
All or nothing. He's coming back. The way I see it, maybe like this is kind of grasping at straws, but when she sacrificed Shireen last season, that power didn't really go anywhere. Like, it melted some snow for Stannis, but she was already losing her faith. So, in theory, Shireen's sacrifice could still bring Jon back, which is, like, kind of what I'm looking at.
I think that if there were to be it,
because what else? Jon, blood don't, like, can only, or life can only pay for life, you know?
Blood, right. So, well, hey, how does it work when, the flaming sword dude, what's his name?
Thoros Amir.
Yeah. What? How does he work when he comes back to life?
No, he did. He brings Beric Dondarrion back to
life. Oh, okay. So how's that work?
I don't know. He's not fully dead. I think it's a weird. You don't really.
It's a loophole in the. Yeah. In the system?
Well, it's not clear because Thoros never. Like, he had lost all his faith, and he really wasn't doing anything, and then all of a sudden he had this new power.
Interesting. And
it doesn't really explain where it comes from or whatever.
Okay. I think it's interesting to rewatch that just to see an idea of how that whole procedure works. If I had to guess, that sacrifice from last season doesn't count.
Probably not.
So it'd be a new one. I don't know what it would be. Alistair, killing Alistair. Just for, you know, maybe revenge sake.
That'd be, yeah. I guess they could do that.
There'd be some sort of, like...
Might be a little...
It's poetic. Revenge, yeah. Anything else you want to mention about this? No? Yeah. North is still really blue and gloomy.
It is kind of weird. Like, we kind of touched on it earlier. You said, like, it's weird that his little speech convinced all the rest of the Night's Watch to be like, yeah, fuck that guy. Like,
yeah. Like, there's, like, five guys who are, like, behind dead Jon. And
the Lord Commander.
He's like... Alistair is like, you know, he put us in a tough spot, so we have to kill him.
And the thing is, like, he was just elected Lord Commander, and it's elected from a vote. Like, he won the popular vote. So you would think
Although Alistair was close, but
you would think that most of those guys would still have, like, esteemed Jon enough.
Well, I know, but that was before he did the crazy
stuff.
All the
stuff with the wildlings and stuff. Yeah.
Which, I guess, all of his men that he had brought with him there are the ones that were behind him. If everyone had seen Hardhome, there's no way that would have happened.
Yes.
You know, like, they'd be like, yep, nope, you're right. We made the right.
There's a real enemy. We're doing
the right. Exactly. But no, that's not the case now. Yeah. I am excited about to see what happens with the wildlings. They're not ones for. They do have some kind of honor, but they're not ones to, like, rally behind something like that. At least not most of them. Some of them
was able to rally them, but for the most part, they follow their own.
Right. So sequence. Some of them might come to his help, like, because he helped them escape. Yeah. But
you have to assume Tormund would be among them.
Yeah. Right? He had some respect for Jon. All right. So let's move on. Ramsay. Ramsay and
Roose
were. There's a weird scene with Ramsay talking to the dead kennel something's daughter.
Yeah, Miranda, I think they named her.
Yeah.
Right.
The kennel something?
Kennel master's daughter.
Yeah, so, like, she was only ever, like, a minor character at best.
Yeah.
And then, at worst, a B-level villain, kind of, to some degree. I don't know if that scene, like, we already understand. Like, does it humanize Ramsay at all?
No.
Like, a little bit.
Well, yeah, and then at the end, he cuts it all off. He's like, no, feed her to the dogs.
Right.
Like, don't even bury
her. So what's the point of this scene?
I don't really know. I guess it's just to address that she died and he's affected by it. And, like, that's the only thing that you ever see him be
emotionally
affected by.
First of all, you for sure know he's dead. She was dead anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
She goes splat on the ground. And we already don't like Ramsay. We never liked this girl in the first place. Like, I think this scene is completely useless.
Yeah. Again, it's picking up where everything left off.
Yeah, like, so let's remind us how evil Ramsay is. We know that.
It is unnecessary, but I suppose it would be kind of, like, jarring for him to only be evil all the time, you know? Even though he only shows a little bit of humanity for a split second
here. Yeah, like, when does that happen? Like, is that the idea is that we get this whole scene just so we get that split second of humanity?
Maybe, because maybe it kind of balances him. Not imbalance. Clearly there's an imbalance, but it kind of balances what we see of him.
You know what I mean? Yes, but again, it just
not my, first not my favorite think, scene. It's
at
not
this point, like
terribly
we
long.
At this point, do we really need that kind of thing from Ramsay? Like, if that's how you're gonna do it with the body of a dead psychopath, then who cares? Like, I feel like it's a waste, but that's fine. The more interesting part is when Roose comes in. Mm-hmm. Have a conversation about guess what? Yes, they won. We knew that already. They have a conversation confirming that. Yeah, he's dead, man.
Whatever.
Okay, anyway, it's confirming that he's dead.
Stannis.
There's a nice little knot, like, chuckle moment for us, like the viewers, with like whoever, whatever man did that, it would give them an award, yes. Which is good because we know it was Brienne. Then we get the obligatory Roose is an asshole moment where he says, you know, without Sansa, you know, you can't have an heir, and without an heir, you're useless to me. So let's hope that that
Walda
Frey has a son. So like that. Light a fire under Ramsay's ass there, so that's good. I guess it seems like a necessary scene just to keep things
just place setting.
Yeah, nothing great there, but good to see. You know, Roose is still
I like
Roose a lot.
He's really cool,
even though he's an ass. I do like him a lot.
Yeah.
Then we cut to Sansa and Theon / Reek. Obviously fine after jumping off the wall. Would have liked to see that in a, like addressed in some way, like just how did, like, was there enough snow? Like, did they have to climb?
I mean, it was pretty clear they were just jumping in the snow. I don't know.
Did they have to climb through the snow? Like,
yeah, I would assume so.
Like, how long were they running before the dogs? Like, it seemed like they would have had a little bit of time,
but
they
probably got caught up to them pretty quick.
Yeah, so
whatever. That's
fine. Although he came back in at the exact time they jumped off, right?
I don't remember that.
Yeah,
yeah. Either way. I think they got their point across. They're running away. Dogs are after them.
Yeah, I mean, I like the music in that scene a lot. Yeah. It's really intense. This is mostly this whole sequence is the most intense part of the whole episode. Really liked it. So they're running. You get a very Revenant-esque shot of that river. Really beautiful scenery that they use there. I don't know where they would have been. Like, where do they film the North stuff? Like, I know that they do. Beyond the Wall is in Iceland.
They do Northern Ireland as well. I would assume that would be
Northern Ireland. But like, is that just all? Did they just all set dressing fake snow?
A lot of it looked like it was fake, like the powdery fake snow that they use. So
it's possible. Maybe they just
Northern Ireland. I would assume
converted a regular.
Everything Winterfell like in the north was Northern Ireland.
Okay, so that's probably like that then. So they're escaping. Being chased by dogs, they did a really great job in the scene because it's like it seemed like they were gonna get away, everything was gonna be fine. You get a nice tender moment where Theon like warms her up. That's really nice, and then it's like, oh, too bad. You know, like they just like so like the worst plan, Theon. Like, if at the very least you should like, if your plan was to lead them away, to like run the other way, you know, like that would be, that makes more sense than what you did. Just hey walk. Guys, she died in the snow. And like the dogs are like, no, she didn't, she's just over here,
we're dogs.
Like, we don't even believe you. So they just came and then they find her, so like basically instantly. And you get the great hero moment with Brienne. Really liked that.
Again, it's another case of her being in the right place at the right time.
Convenient. But like, she was around.
She was in the general area. It's really.
I mean, obviously, they didn't get very far on foot. They were on horseback.
Well, and also, obviously, they went the opposite way from the battle, which is where we last left her with Stannis. Like,
right? Yeah. Like, how would she have caught up? Like how would she
to the other side of
where? How would she have known to like start the search? Like,
and like, it's all very convenient.
She might have had someone paid off to like. I mean, I don't know. It's all, again, I can't.
It's hard to really.
I can't really figure it out.
It's not your job to make excuses for them.
Oh, yeah, you know, that's.
It's pretty dumb.
It's pretty dumb. But it's all okay because we get a really cool moment where
she. It was
she
really
just,
cool, yeah.
Well, she doesn't actually do that great of a job. She kind of gets her ass kicked a little bit.
I don't know, yeah. And then the guy gets off his horse for whatever reason after he's knocked her down instead of just riding over her, but.
Right.
Whatever, that's not.
She has a pretty sweet armor. I don't know if it would have done anything anyway, unless he stepped on her head.
Yeah.
But whatever, again, nitpicking here. But cool fight action scene. It seemed like Pod and that guy on the horse were just like going back and forth with the sword for like the whole time.
Doing the same
like,
action though.
Forward and side and forward and side and forward. Like, I love Pod. Like, I love me a good Pod.
Pod got himself a kill. Like,
yeah. I mean, then he also fucked up after.
Yeah.
But he's still new. He's a knight in training.
He's a squire.
So. All good except for the few maybe plot holes.
Yeah,
whatever.
Maybe
plot holes. Really cool moment. I love like the moment where she like pledges her sword to Sansa, and then Sansa's like, "So is this a thing? Like, if someone pledges your sword, is there like a set thing of lines you're supposed to say?
Yeah, the fealty vows, yeah.
I didn't know that. That's cool. Like, she's been waiting for that for so long.
Well, she did that with with Catelyn Stark earlier, and then she failed in that mission, and now she's going to get
it. Yeah, but, like, she looked like she was about to cry.
Yeah.
She was like, she's like, finally.
This is all that Brienne lives for, is to serve a master, like, an honorable master or something. She just wants to be a true knight all her life. That's all she's cared about.
And, well, again, now she's...
And she failed Renly, she failed Catelyn, now she's going to pledge her sword to Sansa, and...
When did she meet her? Oh, because she said, she's like, let me try this again, kind of. Like, when did she meet her before?
Sansa?
Yeah. In the was it that tavern, or...
Yeah, with Littlefinger.
Yeah.
And Sansa told her to go away when she was trying to pledge her sword to her.
Right.
Yeah,
because she couldn't do it. It wasn't the right moment. It wasn't the right time. Okay. Also, because she also wanted her to go away. She didn't know what was happening yet. So that's good. So they're okay. All those guys are murdered. They should be fine.
Yeah, that's kind of like a happy ending. That's
like now what for her? We already know from Sophie Turner. Not Sophie Turner. What's the lady who plays Sansa's name?
Yeah, Sophie Turner. You got it right.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow, I got it the first try. That her story arc this season is going to be pretty badass. So far, good start.
Mm-hmm.
Although she didn't do much. But all she did, again... I mean, if you really want to be, a Sansa hater, you'd be like, well, she cried about going in the river, she was crying about being cold and not wanting to run, when the dogs were barking in her face, she didn't do anything. The whole time that the people were fighting around her, she was just curled up in a ball. All she did was stand and make that nice little...
And
she didn't even know all the words!
Those are the times that it's, it's understandable for her to be acting that way. What is she supposed to do?
That's true.
I'm almost used to seeing it, from her that it doesn't really faze me. It's other times where she's like... Don't tell Cersei that your father is trying to do this stuff. Season one, that kind of stuff bugs
me. Yeah, but she was also still really young.
She was just a kid. She got fooled, yeah.
Yeah, I know. I mean, apparently it's going to be really badass. Where do you think it's going to go from here?
It's entirely open-ended. I don't know.
In the north,
was to go to the wall.
But now that, at this point, he's still there. He's not dead yet. Theon's still there.
Mm-hmm.
Theon and her are there, and then you have Pod and Brienne.
Mm-hmm.
So either they go north of the wall... That might happen.
Could happen. They could head north and find out that Jon's dead, and then...
What kind of, how cool would it be if they get there right at the same time Jon, comes back to life?
Yeah.
That'd be, nice. That'd be a nice little...
Nice little reunion. I don't know.
Here's or would you...
The thing about coming back, though, he's going to come back changed. He's not going to come back the same.
Yeah. Well, maybe. Yeah. We'll see. You're making a lot of presumptions for something that hasn't happened yet. What else do we have here?
Where else would Sansa go? She clearly can't go back to Winterfell.
No.
The only family she has would be at the wall with Jon, is because everyone still assumes he's alive, right? Bran's missing, Rickon's missing, Arya's missing, Robb's dead.
She could help head for a place that the Stark, being a Stark would be worth something, right?
So
she
go to the same place. That's anywhere in the north, right?
Yeah,
but that's kind of where Rickon maybe.
Yeah, you go to the same place as Rickon,
which is Last Hearth, which is
fairly close enough.
Well, it's
on horseback. You could get there.
Yeah.
They'd be okay. So maybe that's interesting.
Open ended. That'd be cool for her and Rickon to have a reunion.
Team up.
Yeah,
that's a sweet team up. Sansa Rickon team up. I'm looking forward to that. Okay, good. What else do we have after that? We have King's Landing. We go to King's Landing. Jaime and Cersei have a little reunion again. What happened to Cersei at the end of season 5? Not really addressed. I mean, her hair's still short. That's really the only. And this is where the timeline thing is kind of weird.
That would have taken a long time.
So you have Cersei's hair's grown enough to be short, but still.
And Jaime's boat has arrived from Dorne.
Pretty
far away.
And then you have this part with Sansa and Theon where they're picking up moments after.
Yeah, I don't think it's supposed to be beat for beat, though. It's not all happening at the same time. They're kind of on their own timelines right now. When they do meet up, then you get a reference, right?
That's true. Where they... Yeah, I guess. It makes things more confusing if all of the events you're seeing aren't happening at least close together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are we seeing something in the past, if quote-unquote the past with Theon and Sansa, or are we seeing everything else seems to be lined up with, being further along than just moments, right? So that's a moment from the past, and everything else is ahead of that. Because then it just makes things... Even
a
more
little
confusing.
Bit. A little bit. I don't know if you have to pay that much attention to that.
It's important. This is the kinds of things I pay attention to.
It becomes relative once they meet.
These are the kind of things I pay attention to.
Okay.
So Jaime and Cersei meet up. So we obviously, Marcel is dead.
Clearly murdered.
Yeah, we murdered. Yeah.
An act of war.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously coming.
Yeah.
It seems like that's pretty obvious to me. The first time that have they ever taken up, have they ever used their army, Dornish?
Well, they have, not in this series, no.
No, not in this series, no, but even when, the Seven Kingdoms were conquered, they didn't fight, they just kind of, said, yeah, cool.
When Aegon?
Yeah.
No, they fought, and they were the only kingdom not to be conquered by Aegon the Conqueror.
Oh.
Dorne was brought into the kingdom as a whole,
yeah,
much later with, King Daron II, I think, and he did it through marriage.
Okay, interesting. Seems to me like we'll get there, I guess, but in Dorne, lots of stuff going on. But
God damn it.
Jaime and Cersei. what happened with Cersei was just not really addressed. So this whole scene is really weird. Jaime comes back. Well, are we supposed to presume that he was filled in? And
yeah, he doesn't really comment on her hair.
Yeah, he doesn't comment on anything. You're like, hey, how was?
I guess they have bigger fish to fry. Their daughter is dead. They're for all intents and purposes at war. And Cersei is right now just lamenting. She's given up, and he's trying to console her.
You know what's strange to me is she makes a reference to the flashback we saw at the beginning of last season of her as a child meeting
the Woods Witch.
Yeah,
Maggie the Witch.
It just, you would feel a lot more cohesive if that she'd made this reference at the end of last season.
I remember saying that felt out of place because they didn't even touch on it later on.
None of her kids died in that, until the very last moment. End. It was the last shot before Jon.
Yeah.
That was we got the ship, it was sailing away, she died, and then Jon.
Yeah.
So,
I think maybe Arya was in the middle, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's hard. In the books, that's a big thing in Cersei's, inner monologue, is this thing with the witch, she's constantly thinking about it.
Yeah.
So it's more, on the surface. But, I don't know. It doesn't really fly in this, because they don't reference it at all until
it becomes necessary. Hey, guys, do you remember that small scene? Mm-hmm. Very first thing you saw at the beginning of last season?
It's an important scene, but...
Yeah, but at the beginning of last season. And it was completely out of context, because... I bet you there's still people who don't understand what the hell was going on there.
Of course.
No,
I wish last season they had touched on it at least once or twice more, but
it would have been a lot neater if it had
We always discuss, the time in this show is a premium. You can't spend too much time on these things.
I guess. Want the shock and value of Marjorie or Marcella dying the end of last season, then you can't really have it addressed into the mm-hmm. beginning of this season, but I guess a small price to pay.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. So Jaime and Cersei are talking. They're kind of agreeing to what exactly here?
The same thing they've always done. Just us against the world. Nobody else matters. I think not those exact lines, but I think he said something very similar to her before.
He said something. Yeah, kind of.
Nobody else matters. We.
He says, fuck everyone all, else. Yeah. That's not us. Everyone. That's not us.
So that's their Lannister mindset.
So what's the plan?
No change there.
What's the plan?
There is no plan.
Where does it go from here? What do they do next?
Okay.
If you're Jaime and Cersei, if you're both of them together, what do you do?
Well, first things first, the High Sparrow is their biggest issue, right?
Yeah.
In terms of power struggle in King's Landing.
They can't really do anything.
So as much as they want to go to war with Dorne, he would just be in the way.
Right.
And all his followers. So that's their biggest issue.
So you got to deal with that first. We did get a scene with Marjorie and the High Sparrow, speaking mm-hmm. of which. In the dungeons, basically useless. This scene is just
just reminds me. Hey,
she's
she
in the dungeons. They keep saying confess. What is she even in there for?
She's there because she knew that her brother was gay,
and didn't say anything.
It's pretty weak, but yeah, that's by our standards. So,
it's weak by a lot of standards. She didn't. I don't know.
In last season, she was proven to have known about and not said anything,
right,
and
okay.
she expressly. Denied it.
We also don't know if her brother is even alive.
Yeah,
still.
Nobody knows anything about that.
I guess that's the only. It needs to be there. It's very short. She's still got a lot of spirit left. She's got a lot. She's still pretty stubborn, which I like.
That's what her and Cersei have in common.
Right. But she's not in the dungeon anymore. Cersei isn't, by the way.
Yes.
It also seems strange, like, nothing she had, like, why has she been waiting so long to do anything about the High Sparrow? Like, it seemed like she was, like, right at the end, like, the beginning, or the end of last season, like, all right, time to get it done. Let's do it. Like,
I'm on a warpath.
It's been, like, who got long enough for her to grow her some hair, and she hasn't done anything. She's been moping around in the castle.
Maybe she was waiting for Jaime to get back. You know, maybe she's waiting for Marcella to get back. Who knows?
Man, her face... When she realizes that Marcella isn't like, man,
I don't even feel bad for Cersei though.
I mean, how could you? Because she's the worst.
Yeah.
But there, like, you got to give Lena Headey the props there on the acting. Like, just like her face, just when it was just like the perfect. You could just gif that as like your face anytime something you think is exciting happens and then turns into it not being. Yeah. You can just gif that at any time. It's the perfect transition. Yeah, you'd call it something a little bit better than that. I don't know what you'd call it, like, disappointment. Just disappointment's a good word for it. Dorne. So that's lots of happened there.
Lots happened here too, and it's
okay. You want to walk us through this? It's really important, but they don't really linger on it.
Well, this is the problem. Like, they haven't really made it clear why these people are important in Dorne. You know,
yeah, they've bungled Dorne left and right.
Yeah, it's just like the forgotten area of the world. And like the thing is, okay, so both Prince Doran, the ruler of Dorne, mm-hmm. and his personal guard Ariel Hota are just murdered flat out,
mm-hmm.
yep. just like that. They were barely even characters in the show.
He was the brother of
Oberyn Martell,
right?
And the brother of Elia Martell, who was raped and murdered by the Mountain,
right?
Who's the mother of Rhaegar Targaryen's children.
Okay.
So she was the prince, like, she would have been queen. She was the princess. She was married to a prince.
Okay, and she was killed by the Mountain.
Killed by the Mountain. Okay. When the Lannisters took
control. And, okay.
And then...
Oberyn's sister.
Oberyn, and, yeah. And then...
And, okay, all right. So, I'm following. Yeah.
So, yeah, he's the ruler of Dorne. And his whole spiel is, like, he's very patient, like, well thought out.
Yeah.
You know, he has a plan. He's allowing people to insult him and Dorne, and he's mm-hmm. he's playing this long game. Like he's remembering everything that they say, every yeah. slight, that blah blah blah, and he has a plan for Dorne, and he has a plan for everything.
Yeah.
And then,
not anymore.
Not anymore. Just done.
Okay, so he was murdered, and his son was murdered.
And so Elaria and the Sand Snakes are taking over, and they were already warmongering last season, so yeah. that means Dorne is going to go to war. They have the people behind them, clearly. Those guards didn't even step up to protect
Dorne. But how does the leadership work? Like, can they just kill the king and become the king? Is that how that works in Dorne?
No, they shouldn't be able to. But I think, realistically, most of Dorne would follow Elaria because everyone loved Oberyn so much.
Oh, I see. So she's playing on
basically Oberyn's popularity. When Elliot died, everyone in Dorne wanted to go to war, and Doran said, "No, we're going to be patient. Okay. We're going to make sure that what we think happened is what actually happened before we make enemies." Sort of thing.
Yeah.
He's all about patience and make like understanding.
He's not about anything anymore.
And then Oberyn is murdered again by the Mountain, and then everyone else in Dorne is like, "Okay, we got to go to war."
Yeah.
And Doran's like, "Hey, just please, just trust me, just be patient." And now Elaria's killed him and is like, we're going to war. And everyone's going to be behind her.
All right. Shitty way for him to die.
Yeah.
What does he say? What is the last word?
His last words are like, my son. And she's like, your son is weak too. And then kills him.
Gets stabbed through the back of the head by a spear.
By Obara.
You know all the Sand Snakes names?
Obara, Nymeria, and Tyene. Yeah, I think okay. I do. Okay. Well, there's more Sand Snakes, but
they don't. The ones in the show. The ones that we know.
Elia
and something else. Again, those characters are just not well developed. It just seems like if you're gonna do this like shocking thing, you'd want it to be
to have some significance.
It just feels like, okay, here, we're gonna do this now, and you're like, okay, let's move on to more important things. Honestly, even though that's super important,
I think they're just running out of time. Like they don't want to stick to what, like 7 seasons, 8 seasons tops. I think
they're saying 8,
and they're running out of time. Like I genuinely think that Dorne had a larger role to play, and they're just like, we don't have time for it, so let's just kill them off.
I think that's a pretty cynical view.
Well, I don't know. Knowing from what I know in the books, I would hate for this to be what happens in the books. First of all,
I'm sure it'd be a little bit more played out.
I would hope so, but I feel like they, even when they were introducing Doran as a character, it doesn't make sense for
I
me.
I liked
in
him
like
as a
three
character.
Episodes and he wasn't in not much. Really have any significance other than just to die in alley.
I mean, that was his significance, I guess. The idea was that he was important. And now he's dead.
Maybe they just didn't establish him well enough.
Which is definitely true. That's not even a question. It's like, That's a fact.
And Ariel Hotel, like, oh.
The sky is blue and Duran wasn't established well. Like, those are two things that are for sure.
That just makes me mad.
Okay, so is there anything else we need to discuss about Dorn?
Not right now.
Okay,
it's
good.
A sore spot.
Well, maybe we'll come back to it. If you feel like you just need to say anything, just say it. Then we have Tyrion and these Tyrion and Varys scenes. They're always so good.
Perfect.
I mean, that scene was the best match. At least, to be fair, wasn't their best work, but it just, it was weird how few how few people were there. Like, mm-hmm. They kind of made a point of like mentioning it, but it was like still really like there's like they walked past like two people. And then I guess the big takeaway is all the ships burned, right?
Yeah, so there's no going back. Like, they don't have a navy anymore. They can't sail to Westeros. They're going on foot wherever they're going.
For now.
Yeah, and they can always build more ships if they had people to build ships.
Mm-hmm. Right? Okay, so.
So there's that, and also that a lot of people have abandoned the city.
Okay. So you have Tyrion looking to try to salvage what they have, mm-hmm. Which is Meereen. And they're on foot to get the peasant's view, the merchant, what do they say, we're dressed like common merchants?
Yeah.
The common merchant's view of Meereen from the you know, ground floor. I thought it was a great conversation about walking like a rich person. He had looked like he was walking like a rich person, like his hands behind his back, like just like, to be fair, he also looked like he was walking like a rich person. Yeah. Like with his, he has like the constant like wizard sleeves together thing going. Just, I mean, not a lot like to learn, take away, other than yes, ships are gone. The pulse of the city's kind of gone too.
The people are divided at best. Yeah.
You have. Well, what did Varys say that his birds are out? They'll be back soon.
So he has contacts on this side of the world as well, and he's
his spies.
He's doing his thing
to try to figure out who's leading the Sons of the Harpy. Mm-hmm. Someone obviously is,
right?
Okay,
they are organized.
There's also some mysterious figure watching them. I'm not sure if that was
Lord
supposed to be takeaway or is just like
no
that where someone is hiding in the house. Again, don't know for sure.
It probably has more significance. It is somebody watching them specifically. It's not just
okay.
a person.
So maybe not. We don't know that for sure. All right, moving on. Jorah and Dario.
You know what? No, before we move on from that, they didn't address at all. It was I think they addressed last season. Barristan dying. Was that in the last episode?
That was in the last episode. That was.
So they did address it then. Okay.
Yeah, that was.
Okay, I don't remember. Let's move on.
It was. I don't think that was the last episode. It was like the second last episode.
Maybe episode 9. That
I
was the big thing.
Okay. I want to say yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because Grey Worm was like injured in bed. And,
yeah.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
Good.
All right. Carry on. Jorah and Dario out looking for Dany.
In the middle of the Dothraki, like, sea.
Yeah, like a big grassy field.
Yeah.
With some, looking good with the Northern Ireland, I presume. Is that Northern Ireland? They were, they had, like, these rock formations. Like, were they rock formations? Like, it just seemed like crappy mountains. They had a good conversation about, you know, being, you know, wanting someone who doesn't want you. Just kind of like,
you know. Story of Jorah's
life. Yeah, basically just like poking at him. Remember when Dario was a different actor?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was a weird looking guy before. You remember? He had a, I don't know, anyway. I guess in the book he's supposed to be even weirder looking. Like he's like kind of.
He's Tairashi, so he has a blue goatee that's spiked, three prongs.
Nothing like having a three prong blue
then,
spiked beard.
Yeah, curly hair, and yeah, he's very different.
Yeah. Anyway, so they're out looking. They come across tracks. It's so funny because like they kind of shoot it from a look away. Like, look at how obvious that they're all in a circle. They're running in a circle. Everyone see how brown that section is.
Yeah.
Like, and they just linger on it for like. It's like an army. No, it's like blah blah blah.
Horde.
And they, which is a good word. Mm-hmm. Horde. He finds that goddamn ring in the middle of the goddamn field.
Makes a little bit more sense because only, it was ringed only, with the footprints.
Only a little bit more. A little more sense.
Clearly, he would go to the center of that ring, sure. And then there's not a lot of
right at his
square
feet,
footage there.
Right when he, I'm just saying that one bugs
I
me.
Get it.
I don't know.
That's a weird one to be nitpicky about, but I get it.
It bugs me. I don't. It shouldn't as much as it does.
That should bother you less.
I'm fine with
Brienne.
Just riding in on horseback. That's awesome. Why would I care about that? Okay, so they basically establish what we're about to find out in the next scene, that she's been taken by the Dothraki horde. Like, is it... Are there multiple Dothraki? Yeah.
So that didn't do a good job of explaining it. So Khal Drogo's... He had the largest Khalasar.
Okay.
But there are plenty of others. And that place that they go, Vaes Dothrak, is where they all meet. And that's why there's no weapons allowed in there, no killing... Or, sorry, no bloodshed allowed in Vaes Dothrak. That's why he had to kill Viserys with the gold, because he couldn't actually shed blood. So it's like a little loophole sort of thing. So all the hordes, all the various Khalasars meet in Vaes Dothrak, and they talk to the Dosh Kalin, which is like the widows of former Khals, which was always Daenerys's kind of destiny in her mind, that if she, you know...
Originally.
Yeah.
Because it...
Well, you know, she had never planned on it. She was always afraid of it. But it was something that was in her mind. But that's what... That's the life that they had set aside for her. Is that she goes there when he dies.
Oh, I see.
So they didn't do any of that in season one. So they do it in this episode now.
They do it all in subtitles.
Yeah.
Speaking in Dothraki.
So there's a little bit of context there, but not much.
Although I did really like that exchange with the call and those other guys, like sharpening their swords about
that was funny.
There's nothing like seeing a naked woman for the first time, and that, like, there are a new woman naked for the first time, and he's like, well, there's all these other things, like breaking in a new horse and killing a man, and like, it's like, okay, it's one of the five best things I did. Which is pretty good that it was still pretty funny, even if it was in subtitles.
And then
I did like Dany's, like, it's great. I love watching her face. Is so great. So she's like, she's deciding she's gonna make a stand, right? And she's like, and then they start laughing at her. And she's like, damn it! Like, and she's like,
she thought they'd be surprised that she knew.
Yeah, right. So right. So they were. Yeah. They all stopped and looked at her, right? And then she makes this, like, I love that she does the whole spiel,
all of her names,
the whole spiel, and he's like, listen, you're Lady of a Thousand Names. It doesn't matter, whatever, right? And then you get, like, the flip-floppy flip-flop. So you get... That's the official term for it.
I didn't realize.
Yeah, the flip-floppy flip-flop. So you think, okay, she's going to make a stand. It's going to matter. Doesn't matter, right? Then you find out... Then she says the whole thing about Khal Drogo. She thinks, okay, yeah, now that one actually did work.
Yeah.
So she's not a slave anymore. Then it flip-flopped again, and she... Oh, you're not... But, you know, it doesn't quite work out just for you. You got to go hang out with all those widows, which I'm sure will be just great. You know, so I'm interested in seeing how Jorah and Daario are going to be able to, quote unquote, rescue her.
I don't think that's how it's going to play out, though. I think she's going to, Daenerys' story, she rescues herself. She's not a damsel in distress,
right? In this case,
I think.
By herself, she doesn't really do anything. She's basically useless. Without her dragon, she's basically useless.
Yeah, like, but the dragon's not necessarily gone.
No.
And a dragon would destroy a Khalasar.
Yeah, it wouldn't even be close.
So,
although...
I like to believe...
A bunch of guys with spears almost killed them last time.
Yeah. No, they could for sure do damage. I like to believe, though, that she's going to turn this to her favor and going to end up leading a Khalasar out of Vaes Dothrak as a new army.
But, like, everywhere she goes, it's like something like that.
That's how it's always worked. Yeah,
she's, I don't know, man. I don't know if that's a
turns misfortune into a brand new army.
I don't think so. That's it. You know what? You write that down. That's gonna happen.
It's on record here.
Wait. We're recording.
We don't write anything down.
I just record everything. I'll never have to write anything down again. Yeah, so I don't think that's.
I'm sure Jorah and Daario will have a role in that. Yeah, but it can't be them rescuing her.
Why not? Why can't it be a sweet, like, little infiltration mission?
That doesn't work for her. She's got to be her own woman and rescue herself.
Oh, and then she's going to have to, like, save the other... Oh, yeah, she's going to want to have to, like, save the other widows and stuff.
I don't know. I don't know if she'll care about them. They're crones. They're old. She doesn't care.
Not all of them are. I bet you there's some...
They probably aren't. Who knows, but... I don't know. I don't think she'll care about them. I think she's going to, like, be more focused now. Go take a Khalasar and start...
Yeah, but, like,
bearing towards the Seven
There's
Kingdoms.
No such thing as a female-led Khalasar. That doesn't exist, right?
She breaks all the rules, right?
Breaker of Chains, actually.
Yeah. Well, both.
That's not one of her names. Breaker of Rules is not one of the rules.
Third of her name.
Then we have Arya. So,
nice little scene there.
Yeah, not really.
Doesn't really give you any...
No context as what was...
She's just... still blind.
She makes it. She literally says the words, "I can't see," in case you didn't know, mm-hmm. from looking at her glossy, like, apparently those contacts weren't very comfortable. That's what she said. Mm-hmm. She's really chatty. Was she sent to just sit out there with ask for money?
Yeah, she was just sent away from the temple.
Then why is the crone coming out
too? The waif,
yeah. You said crone earlier.
Because she's still kind of training her.
Like, that's what I'm saying, is she under official capacity sitting out on the road? I don't
really know why she's where she is, but she's... Yeah, they sent her out there on purpose, and the waif is going to train her. It's not like she's evicted from the temple, but...
I see.
I don't know what...
What was it said to her at the end of last season? About, you know, taking a life that wasn't hers to take and whatever. And then, like, there was the Mission Impossible face mask thing that they did.
So I guess the idea is that she owes the faceless god a death or something like that.
Maybe.
Is it because she took one without...
Because it was just like, you just take a death, you just... For every person you're not supposed to kill.
Don't worry, I'm good for it.
Like, don't worry. Like, for every one person you kill, like, you just go, like, oh, you're not supposed to kill that guy, so kill this guy. It's like an extra life.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it isn't, like, let's take more lives to make up for it.
Yeah, the rules aren't exactly clear.
Okay. Well, at least we caught up with everyone. Everyone, like we mentioned.
Yeah, except for Bran. Yeah.
Except for Bran. Oh, and, of course, our favorite other Stark. My favorite.
Rickon.
Other Stark. Yeah, Rickon. He's out there. He's out there somewhere.
Technically, yes.
Maybe he's just dead, like, we just didn't know. He dies off screen, we find out later. Didn't make it to...
Never important.
it just turns out, if you ever were a fan, it didn't matter. Alright, so this episode, I don't know if you mentioned it, it's called Red Woman. We already talked about her, like, weird, like, shape-changing thing.
Yeah.
So
that's that. That's how the
episode ends. Reminds me a bit of that that scene from, like, episode... Was it season one? Season two? With Grandmaster Pycelle. And he's, like, doing, like, squats and, like, jumping around in his...
He's much more limber than he appears.
It's, like, the opposite of that.
Yeah. I don't know how to read that. Like, I don't think that she's completely lost her faith, but clearly...
Busts in while she's, like, super old?
I don't know. She kills them, probably. I don't know.
With what? Her frail arms?
Her magic. She'll just grab a ruby and she'll be good to go.
That's all the way on the table over there.
I don't know. But the thing, yeah, she's not used to taking that ruby off, so I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe she has lost her faith. Maybe she is giving up, but I can't see
that. I want to go back and see if there's any scenes of her naked without that ruby.
I don't know. Well, I mean, we go look, but...
Because if that's the case...
She almost always has it on, that I can remember.
I don't even remember exactly. Like, we just watched the episode, so it's like we like to usually watch it twice, but in this case we don't have that opportunity. We want to be able to get this out for Monday, which is the podcast anniversary, so that's exciting. But I would like to go back and see, because there's like about 1,000 shots of her naked.
She's the most naked. Yeah.
Yeah. There's no one ever more naked.
Nipples are too high.
You thought you said that about Marjorie.
No, I said that only about her.
No, you said that. I was talking about Marjorie. You said why I was confused. Wasn't
naked in this episode.
I know she wasn't, but that's why I was saying, I really like Marjorie, and you're like, her nipples are too high. And you thought I was talking about
Carrie Van Houten. That's who you were talking about. That's the lady who plays Melisandre.
Oh, okay. Doesn't matter. Yeah, whatever. I do really like. Are you sure about that?
Yeah, I'm sure. Natalie Dormer plays Marjorie.
Well.
I'm
Natalie
right.
Dormer, you're right.
I know. Shit. I'm right.
Shit. Anyway, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. I don't know what you're talking about. All right. So that the episode was called Red Woman.
The Red
Woman. For obvious reasons, I think. It was directed by Jeremy Podeswa. He also directed Unbowed, Unbent, Unbroken, and Kill the Boy last season, which both fairly good episodes, if I recall. They all kind of blur.
But I remember correctly, Unbound, Unbent, Unbroken was kind of
this one's probably, if you had to rate it,
this was a good episode. All in all,
I think it was good. You usually don't like the first episode.
I know. I was happily surprised that I liked it. A couple little plot holes like we had already mentioned, but overall,
that
pretty
really
good.
Awesome
episode.
Plot hole with Brienne. That's my favorite plot hole of all time.
Maybe I was more just prepared for it. Like, I know it's going to be a lot of catching up and just.
Yeah, so you
it wasn't the most exciting, but it wasn't boring either.
You went in with the lowest expectations you possibly could.
Not the lowest, but apprehensive.
That's a good 5-cent word right there, Dan. Yeah, that's fair. Okay. All right. Is there anything else you want to mention about this episode?
No, just excited to get back into the season. More to come.
Yeah, I mean,
like, excited to see what happens with Bran. Not about this episode at all, but that's what
I'm just in general. Also, who what's his name's playing? The character actor. We were just talking about him. Yeah, it's really late, by the way. We're having, it's like after
had
midnight.
A couple drinks today.
Yeah. What's his name? It's an Irish name.
Ian McShane.
Ian McShane. Right. Who's he playing? Because Dan's convinced that he was in this first episode, but he wasn't.
He wasn't in this first episode, but what I am convinced of is that they said that he's only going to be in one episode.
Oh, well, maybe he'll be the most... So, maybe he'll we'll be see. Really good...
I have no idea for...
First episode, or one... Like, single appearance, Game of Thrones. He just owns it.
Well...
Only one way to find out.
He's only in one episode. That doesn't mean, you know, he doesn't last long.
Yeah, well, who knows? Maybe he, like, flies off into space or something. Like,
yeah, that could be.
That'd be like, okay, it's only one episode, but, like, wow, what a way to go out. All right. On that note, I guess we can wrap it up. We'll be back next week with another Tower Babel Game of Thrones recap. Breakdown. It's a breakdown.
Yeah.
We call it a breakdown. We will have another full Tower of Babel podcast, I think, soon. I got a couple. I've been building up my list, 2 weeks worth of news stories. We've got to definitely got to talk about Star Wars Rogue One trailer. That was like a million years ago now.
Oh, jeez, yeah.
And a whole bunch of other good stuff like that. So if you are only listening to us as a Game of Thrones podcast, it might be worth your time to tune in.
You probably enjoy the other one.
Yeah, probably. Again, you can find all that stuff at towerofbabelpodcast.com and on iTunes, Stitcher, soon Google Play Store. I haven't added it on there yet, but eventually it doesn't let me because I don't live in the United States or Canada at the moment, but we'll make it work. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, also follow us on Twitter at Tower Babelcast, and the Babel in Tower Babel is right on your screen, by the way, but it's B-A-B-B-L-E, not the biblical B-A-B-E-L version. Also, like us on Facebook. I like to post some nice things.
Once in a while.
Some funny stuff on there every once in a while. Some reposts of some big stories that we like to talk about. Join the conversation.
Facebook's the most accessible.
Yeah, I mean, I like Twitter a lot too. We have finally got over 100 followers. You know that?
Ooh.
102, I think, I want to say. Big deal. We've been stuck at like 96 for a long time. So yeah, follow us on Twitter at Tower Babelcast. Like us on Facebook. Facebook.com/ Tower Babelcast. We're on a bunch of other stuff too, but those are the main ones. And yeah, give us a nice review and rating on iTunes. It's really great to be back for Game of Thrones season. It's my favorite time of year. Basically, I can't think of, like, fuck Christmas, right? Right? Game of Thrones is way better than that, unless I'm getting Game of Thrones DVDs for Christmas, in which case, sweet. But other than that, we will see you guys next week. This week's Game of Thrones theme was a piano cover by Sonia Belosova. You can find her music and all the stuff that they do on YouTube and, of course, on their website, playerpianomusic.com.